I went to Nevada to work on a big ranch out there for their fall wagon work. And I was driving, when the wagon came in, I was headed back for Montana, and I was driving down the street in Elko, Nevada, and here on the movie marquee said "The Man from Snowy River." And I stopped the truck right in the middle of the street in Elko and got out and walked over there to look at it, and it was based on the poem by Banjo Patterson. I was furious. I'd spent 6 months learning this poem, and I thought, now every SOB in the country is going to know this poem. But it's... Oh!
That's cheating! That's cheating!
Don't look unless you really need to.
All right. There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away, and to join the Wild Bush Horses, where the Wild Bush Horses are, and the stockmen.
All
right. Oh, I had joined the Wild Bush Horses. He was worth 1,000 pounds. So all the cracks together to the fray, all the tried and noted riders from the stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight for the Wild Bush Horse, for the bushmen love hard riding where the Wild Bush Horses are, and the stock horse snuffs the battle with delight. There was Harrison, who made his pile when Pardon won the cup. An old man with his hair as white as snow, yet few could ride beside him. When his blood was fairly up, he would go wherever horse and man could go. And Clancy, from the overflow, came down to lend a hand. No finer horseman ever held the reins, and never horse could throw him while the saddle girt would stand. He'd learned to ride while droving on the plains. And one was there, a stripling on a small and weedy beast, something like a racehorse, undersized, with a touch of Timor pony, 3 parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die, with courage in his quick and patient tread. And he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eye, and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. Yet still so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay. And the old man said, "That horse will never do, lad, for a long and tiring gallop." The old man said, "That horse will never do for a long and tiring gallop, lad. You'd better stop away. These hills are far too rough for such as you." So he waited, sad and wistful. Only Clancy stood his friend. "I think we ought to let him come," he said. "For he hails from..." "I think we ought to let him come," he said. "I warrant he'll be with us when he's needed at the inn, for both his horse and he are mountain bred. For he hails from Snowy River, up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where the horse's hooves strike firelight from the flintstones every stride. The man who holds his own is good enough. Where the Snowy River riders on those mountains make their home, and the river runs those giant hills between. I've seen full many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but nowhere yet such horsemen have I seen." So we went. They found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away toward the mountain's brow, and the old man gave his orders. "Boys, go at him from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel them. Try and wheel them to the right. Ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills, for never yet was rider that could keep the mob in sight if once they gained the shelter of those hills." So Clancy rode to wheel them. He was racing on the wing where the best and boldest riders take their place. And he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the ranges ring with his stock whip as he met them face to face. And they halted for a moment while he swung the dreaded lash. But they saw their well-loved mountain full in view, and they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew. Then fast the horsemen followed, with the gorges deep and black resounded. Resounded to the thunder of their tread, and the stock whips woke the echoes, and they fiercely answered back from cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. Upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way, where mountain ash and Courageon grew wide, and the old man muttered fiercely, "We may bid them off good day. No man can hold them down the other side." When they reached the mountain summit, even Clancy took a pole. It well might make the boldest hold his breath. for the wild hop shrub grew thickly, and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes, and he slipped his butt. But the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head. He swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer, and he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed, while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet. He cleared the fallen timber in his stride. The man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride. Through the stringy barks and saplings o'er the rough and broken ground, down the hillside at a racing pace he went. And he never drew the bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of that terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the further hill, and the watchers on the mountain, standing mute, saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right among them still as he raced across the clearing in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment where the mountain gullies meet in the ranges, but a final glimpse revealed on a dim and distant hillside the wild horses racing yet, with the man from Snowy River at their heels. He ran them single-handed, for their sides were white with foam. He followed like a bloodhound on the track till they halted, cowed and beaten. Then he turned their heads for home, and alone and unassisted, brought them back. But his hardy mountain pony, he could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur, but his pluck was still undaunted and his courage fiery hot, for never yet was mountain horse a cur. Now down by Kosciuszko, where the pine-clad ridges raise their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky, and where along the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway to the breezes and the rolling plains are wide, the man from Snowy River is a household word today, and the stockmen tell the story of his ride.
Cool. Okay.